And in Job chapter 1, Acts 26 is the testimony of Paul when he talks about his salvation. He's testifying this in court. In Acts 26, and then Job chapter 1. Okay, let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do pray that you help us to be in awe of thy word and of thy power. And I pray that you'd help us to worship you for your great power. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Acts 26, Paul is given a testimony. And verse 13, he says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, In the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, and to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Okay, now the next verse is the fivefold application, I guess you could say, of Paul's ministry. Number one, to open their eyes. Number two, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So there's the five parts. The middle one is from the power of Satan unto God. Okay, the power of Satan unto God. I want to focus on that one there. If you would, go to Job chapter 1. Now, Paul mentioned that one of the purposes of his ministry was to turn people from the power of Satan unto God. Now, there's really no comparison between those two powers, Satan and God. But people tend to think that it is a struggle between God and the devil, a real, you know, desperate struggle. God's winning, the devil's winning. God's winning, the devil's winning. But actually, the struggle is only within the mind and the heart of the individual. That's where the struggle is. It's not between God and Satan. Okay, God obviously the most powerful. Satan would probably be number two. And Michael, maybe a touch below Satan and the angels. But he's tremendous power. But between he and God, no comparison. Okay, the book of Job, one right before Psalms. Job was a fella that lived in a place called Uz. And that is modern-day Jordan. Okay, in the Bible, that'd be Petra or Moab. So that's where he was living, and God used Job as to start a fight with the devil. Okay, that's what he did. He just thought the devil needed a couple black eyes, and so he's going to use Job to do that. And in Job chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Okay, these sons of God, Old Testament, those are angels. And they come to God for orders. And Satan came to God also. It's like a requirement they had to meet at this time. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Okay, so that's what he's doing. And then the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth?" a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now, the answer to that question is most certainly he has considered him. But he didn't really want to talk about it. And then Satan, as a smart aleck who has no fear, created without fear, does not fear God. He answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." So he's saying, okay, Job, you're helping him out. You won't let me get to him. If you let me get to him, I guarantee you pretty much, well, he's going to curse you. And so the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." Now catch that. It's in thy power. "Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And then right after that, you see exactly what he did. So God allowed him a boundary. Okay, you can go ahead. Do what you want to do. So what did he do? He took all his kids, killed all them. Took all his wealth, took care of all that. Okay, and Job did not curse God. So the devil got a black eye. Boom. Okay, and so since God likes to see a balance in life, one black eye kind of makes your head go to the side. He wants to see a balance, so he wants to get another black eye. So in chapter 2, he brought up the same issue. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, I'm from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him to destroy him without a cause? Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he's in thy hand, but save his life." Again, now he expanded parameters. And so he said, go ahead, but don't kill him. And then he gave him that bad disease, elephantitis, AIDS, I don't know what he got, something like that. Leprosy, probably leprosy would be more like it. They're very similar, all those. And Job did not curse God. And then his three buddies showed up. Okay, his three fellows showed up, and then they had a discussion. And during that discussion is when Job holds fast to his righteousness. So they got, I guess you could say, they got Job to do something the devil couldn't get him to do. Not that he cursed God. But still, actually, the argument between God and the devil at that point was done. Okay, so the devil had two black eyes. And then the three fellas, they came in to so-called comfort Job with comforters like them. You know, that's a hospital comforting. What'd you do to be end up here? Okay, and then God gave the last word, starting in chapter 38, 39, 40, 41. And in 41, God reveals his vast power. Okay, great power. Now, we're going to come into that a little bit later. And so I want to talk about the faith in the power of God. Okay, faith in the power of God. So I'm going to give a few thoughts about this idea. And the first thought is this. If you and I focus upon the storms of life, it will diminish our faith in the power of God. Okay, Simon Peter walked on water. Did he not? According to the Bible's record, he walked on water, but when did he begin to sink? When he took his eyes off Jesus Christ and put them on the storms of life. Now, the storms of life are caused, obviously, by our flesh, but not only by that, but by the one who's walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, because God has delegated power of world kingdoms to a being called the devil. Okay, and so this is where anybody who sees the signs of the times can see where everything's coming to a point. It's coming to a head. Now, if you are an internet researcher. There is so much chatter on the internet right now, it's just phenomenal. Okay, and if you're going to buy into any of it, a person is going to be afraid. Spirit of fear is going to come over them. For example, a leading Jewish rabbi claims that the Messiah is coming. It's supposed to have been yesterday. Okay, so maybe he showed up. I don't know. The Muslim clerics also claim that their Mahdi is showing up in September. So that would be their great prophet and the Jews, their great Messiah, showing up in the same month. Now the Muslims say what precedes their great Messiah is a black man that has international power. Well, maybe so, maybe not, I don't know. Okay, so, and then today, the 13th, is the end of the what's called a Shemitah year, and that's a seven-year cycle. It follows a seven-year cycle in the Old Testament. It's the anniversary of the creation of Adam. Okay, where that's what they're celebrating, and then on 2 days later, on the 15th, they celebrate the creation of Eve. So evidently, he was by himself for a couple of days, you know, looking through all the animals, and the Lord said, I can't find a helpmeet. Dog is not bad, man's best friend, so I got to get something else. So he created Eve. Okay, so that's in their culture. Now on tomorrow the 14th is officially the Anno Lucis, or it is the International Year of Light. Anno Lucis, or Lucifer, the Angel of Light. That's supposed to be tomorrow. On Tuesday the 15th, the UN resolution for Palestine to be a state is supposed to come into effect. Okay, now in the Bible, the word Palestine is really strictly Israel, but in the media culture, Palestine is obviously something different. And I thought that there was going to be a Palestinian state a couple years back, so I put in a footnote in the Bible, and it seems to be true. Not that I'm a prophet or anything, you just kind of read the handwriting on the wall. The 21st, coming up next Monday, is International Day of Peace. And then the 23rd, September 23rd is a very unique day, evidently. It's all over the internet, September 23rd. I mean, you know, and then you got the blood moons at the end of the month. So how much does a person buy into these things? Now, September 23rd, there's an outfit in Switzerland called CERN, okay, where these scientists are, I would guess, is what they're trying to do is they're trying to reestablish Genesis 11, building a tower into heaven. Now, these scientists are taking this energy and they're crashing the atoms and they're going to try to recreate the Big Bang. Now, if they do it, man, it's going to be, oh, that was a good explosion. Okay, but they're trying to discover the God gene. I would say they're trying to poke a hole in the Van Allen belt to try to get, you know, control God or something like that. But it's supposed to be a big deal, and they're supposed to establish a place in Jordan, another branch outfit called Sesame, as in open sesame. So, you know, is the Lord going to allow them to do this stuff? Who knows? CERN is the place where the internet was created. It wasn't done by Al Gore. I'm sorry, he don't get the credit. The credit goes to a guy named Tim Berners-Lee, a British scientist, who invented it in 1989, and then they put it on the public domain in 1993. So the internet is running through this vast computer in CERN. They credit it to a Dutchman by the name of Wilhelm Klein, who they called the first computers, a Dutchman that, born in the early 1900s, went through World War II in concentration camp, I think. And this guy had a genius mind where you could give him mathematical calculations and he would just give the answer right there on the spot. And people were just amazed at his mind to be able to do these things. And so he was instrumental in developing this computer. But they're saying that CERN is going to crank up the power and try to get this thing going on the 23rd of September. Now, the 23rd of September is also when the great Pope, the 266th Pope in the history of the Catholic Church, is coming on the 266th day of the year. which is also equal with the time for conception to birth. So the devil, he likes to follow numbers. And if you study some of these things, you'll see that some of the politicians will study the stars, and then they won't do certain things according to the stars. It's called an augurer or inaugural. Nancy Reagan did this for Ronald Reagan years ago. They're still doing this. Hillary Clinton has admitted that she has consulted the advice of Eleanor Roosevelt. I think she's dead. But the wife of FDR, who the letters pointed out that she was a bisexual, so birds of a feather flock together. And so these people are highly into these things. And so they follow these things. But again, the limitation is, how far is God going to allow these people to do these things? These people or beings. Now, there's another website called the Church of the Acts. Okay, and this Church of the Acts is saying that Daniel's 70th week starts September 23rd. So that's next week. Okay, now, the guy that says this is a guy named Marshall Swing. He's the one who predicted the fall of gold and silver prices in 2012. He personally claims he's Moses, one of the two witnesses. So I got on a website. How he says this? Well, he was born in Watertown, New York. Water, Moses, in the bull rushes, water. And Moses told the Jews to borrow gold and silver from the Egyptians. So he's saying get gold and silver. So he's Moses. Now, he had an email address, so I wrote him and I said, "Dear Moses, how's your brothers, Curly and Chimp?" Signed Hoffman. So it's some charismatic. I mean, it's kind of entertaining. But there's also an idea that there's supposed to be a huge asteroid that's supposed to blast down in the Puerto Rico area. It's supposed to trigger an earthquake and split the Mississippi River, and which is supposed to cause a lot of damage, collateral damage in the United States. Now, that's if a person buys in all these things. Now, on the 23rd, it begins the 70th year of the Jubilee, September 23rd. On the 24th, the Pope is going to meet with Obama, and they're going to have a fun discussion. Okay, and then on the 24th, the Pope is going to address Congress. Now, is he going to tell them, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved"? No, he's not going to tell them that. He's going to tell them about climate change and redistribution of wealth, taking it from America, giving it to somebody else. Okay, that's what the guy is going to do. Now, back in May 13, 2014, there's a French foreign minister who stated that we have 500 days until climate chaos. John Kerry was standing beside him. And the date that that lands on is the 24th. The Pope is going to address the United Nations on the 25th. He's going to have a mass in New York on the 25th. Madonna is going to have her concert, The Desecration of the Bride, on the 25th in that area. The Pope is going to go visit Philadelphia after that. And down in Atlanta, Georgia, they're going to have a concert called the Tomorrowland Concert on the 33rd degree parallel on Atlanta, named after the lost city of Atlantis, which Atlantic Ocean was named after. So the devil is very precise in a lot of these things. Okay, if you go to Arkansas in the 33rd degree parallel, there's a county called Pike County, named after Albert Pike, who was the founder, who was a 33rd degree Freemason, who is the only Southern general that has a statue in Washington, D.C., founder of the KKK, Albert Pike. You see, now, the devil is very precise about these things. And the reason why it seems that the Lord himself wants the devil to advertise his intentions beforehand. It's like a requirement. Now, if a person focuses on these things, if they're really into it, what is their attitude going to be? They're going to get scared. Oh, what if the asteroid hits? Well, just hope you elect to receive. I mean, no better place. Boom, right on the head, I'm gone. I'm out of here. You don't know what happens. Okay? The Lord said in Matthew 24, after the apostle told them about, you know, the end of the time and all that stuff, he said, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. And then he said this, and be not troubled. Now that, you know, okay, from God's perspective, looking at the whole thing from his perspective, eternity forward, eternity past, that's easy to say. From our perspective, when we're stuck down in this time, okay, what has to take place? Faith in what God says. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, he said, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Terror. George Bush made that word popular. Terror. Fine, born-again president. Okay? And a lot of people don't realize that we have this left-right paradigm in America, and that is all a facade. Somebody else is pulling the shots, calling the orders. And presidents are usually nothing more than puppets, and they will do what they're told. They can pretend to be Christian, but don't bank on it, because a politician is a habitual liar. They're narcissists. Okay? And if you believe the Bible said that these world leaders are beasts. Lions, tigers, bears. That's the intention. So if we focus on this, then a person would be afraid. Why? Because we're focusing on Satan. Like Peter, who focused on Jesus Christ when Jesus said, come out to me, and he walked in the water, but then he saw the storm, scared him, and then he sank, and then the Lord Jesus Christ had to pick him up. Okay, the second thought I want to give you this is, I don't know about all this stuff. I really sort of kind of have a doubt in a lot of it, because these charismatics are jumping on all this stuff, and when a bunch of charismatics are jumping on it, I'm not buying into it. But still, biblical faith reveals there is delegated power to Satan. Just reading the Bible, you're going to recognize that there are some clear things that you see that God is allowing the devil to do. For example, the United Nations was predicted in the Bible 2,500 years ago in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. And there's nothing you and I are going to do to stop it. The United Nations and the New World Order are predicted in detail in the Bible. That is a fact. That is not a conspiracy. That is a fact. Now, God makes the devil and his crowd to advertise it, so the advertisement is in your pocket. If you've got a $1 bill on the back of it, you turn it over. There's a pyramid with the devil's eye on top, because the Antichrist has a bad right eye. And in Latin words, it says, announcing the birth of the New World Order. Are they kidding? Is that just for fun? Okay, and then George Bush, number one, made that phrase popular in the New Age now, in Gulf War I, when he said that I'm sending these soldiers to battle in the Gulf War, for my fifth objective is to establish the New World Order. Obama has used that word quite often. So it's pretty well known. Okay, that is a Bible fact. Okay, the Fed has introduced this on the currency years ago, and they're the ones that's calling a shot. The second thing that I know for a fact is that when you have fiat currency, fake money, fake currency, counterfeit money, which is what we got in our pockets, we are under the strings of the bankers, the international banking cartel. There's one Bible in English that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. There's only one Bible in English that says that. And so whenever the bankers want to pull the rug out on a nation like Greece, like Argentina, okay, like Puerto Rico, where they're getting ready, and are they going to pull the rug out on this country? Well, the IMF has intentions. Okay, that we know for a fact. Okay, and anybody that's smart would have some gold and silver. Why? Because that's got value. Okay, so that's a fact. As it's coming into a one world currency or a one world credit system, Revelation chapter 13 strongly shows it's going to happen. There's nothing you and I are going to do about it. Okay, the third idea, that is a biblical faith, this is an obvious thing, if you just believe the Bible, is that conspiracies are not theories. A conspiracy is two or more people who have evil intentions. Now, is that not a no-brainer? Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9, Jeremiah mentioned the conspiracy of his day. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 25, he mentioned the religious conspiracy of his day. Now we see both of them now are coming to a head worldwide. The political conspiracy and the religious conspiracy are coming to a head. Anybody can see that. Okay, and then what God does is He, like I said, He will order the devil to give foreknowledge of His plans. In 1957, there's a woman named Ayn Rand that wrote a book. The secular humanists will say that this is a classic of a book. I've skimmed through it, got bored with it. But Ayn Rand wrote a book called Atlas Shrugged. In that book, it has the plans of world domination. Underground bases, they've got them. Prisons for nonconformists, they got them. Nothing secret about these things. Okay, you follow the red line or the blue line. They pass so many laws, so everybody's a lawbreaker because you can control a lawbreaker. You can't control an honest man. Ayn Rand wrote about this. Now, the insiders, the big dogs, they'll buy an expensive copy of this book. I only paid $5 for the paperback that I had. They'll buy an expensive copy like Christians will buy a real beautiful Bible, put on their coffee table. They'll do that and put it on their coffee table. And when somebody comes into their house, that's the clue. He's in the know. He's an insider. So Ayn Rand published these things years ago. She was a mistress of Rand McNally. You can find anything. She's some spiritist on the web. Okay, not only that, it is known for years that the top dog, the Illuminati, they get order out of chaos. It's a common saying, order out of chaos. How does that work? Okay, they caused the chaos secretly. Adolf Hitler did this. World War I, Woody Woodrow Wilson did this. FDR did this. You name it, they're all doing it. Bush did it, 9/11. Clinton did it with the Oklahoma bombing. It's all inside work. Okay, and order out of chaos. They caused the chaos, but then they step in and they are the ones that give order. And we're so glad for these things. And now you can see the big push. What's the big push in America? Well, they got the guns away from the Europeans. They got the guns away from the Aussies. But guess who still has them? So they got to have these shootings. And if you look at the last four, they're probably all fake. Chattanooga, South Carolina, Virginia, Sandy Hook. All fake. It doesn't look like anybody died. All fake, all actors. You can just study it out. You can see that there's a lot of weird stuff going on. They're either fake or staged. Okay, and what is the intention? The intention is to get the weaponry out of the Americans' hands. Why? Anybody knows that. You know, it's like who votes for gun control? I do. Ah, so, you know, Nazi salute. Yeah, he does. He votes for it. Okay, and these are biblical facts just from reading the Bible. You can figure this out. You can see that these ones at the top are habitual liars, deceptive, they're deceiving people. I mean, NASA, what a place that's deceiving people. NASA began as a result of German scientists who got out of Germany after World War II and came in NASA as a result of that. And it's the NASA Freemasons that are faking everything that's going on in the NASA world. Ain't no way they went to the moon. Why? Because God has limited man to this earth. Genesis 1:26. Man's dominion is the earth and the seas. He is not going to let them pollute other places in this world with their sin. God's not going to let it happen. Okay? And so that's biblical faith. Now, if we look at all that, if we look at all that, man, a person can be afraid and fearful. But if we focus at the God of the Bible, man, oh man, can things get lit up. The God of the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That statement was said after the mention of killing a bunch of people during the tribulation time period, or using that verse. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if we go back to the Job story, okay, when God brought up the issue of Job, God said to Satan, okay, go ahead and do what you want, but this is your parameters. You cannot go beyond that. This shows the power of God. You see, God's power comes from his voice. That's where it comes from. And he's ordered Satan, this is your limit, and then you can see exactly what Satan did. Then the next chapter, okay, go ahead and take his health from him, but you can't kill him. He went right to the thing. He did exactly. That shows his power. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was in front of Pilate, and Pilate said to Jesus Christ, he was amazed that Jesus Christ was talking to him the way he was talking, or he wasn't talking to him at certain times. And Pilate said this, don't you know I have power to crucify you? And Jesus Christ said, you'd have no power at all, except it came from above. And the one that has delivered me unto you hath the greater sin. The last word Pilate heard from the lips of Jesus Christ is sin. And then, you see, what God the Father did that day is he allowed the devil to do his full bidding. You see, these poor Satanists that think the devil really cares for him and wants to give him fame and fortune, if the devil did to you and I what he wants to do, it would be just like Calvary. Why? Because he is a lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, I like to watch like nature shows, and I watch these lions. You know, a lion, when it grabs a gazelle by the throat, that's merciful. Just take it out and then chew it and eat it. But sometimes you'll see those lions where four or five will grab this big buffalo, water buffalo, and it'll take it down, and they don't go for the throat. They'll start chewing on them and eating them from the back front. Can you imagine, as an animal, you're laying there and you know you're going to get et, and maybe you just put me out of my misery. You know, but that's a lion. That's a beast of prey, and that's how the Bible depicts the Antichrist. He depicts him as a lion, a bear, and a leopard all put together. The power of God. Here's the amazing thing about the power of God. If you would go to Job 41. People tend to think that the power of God and Satan are virtually the same, or it's a struggle between the two. Hey, there is no struggle, my friend, none whatsoever. The power of God comes from his voice. Psalm 29, verse 2, the voice of the Lord is powerful. It comes from his voice. And when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to come from his voice when he's going to rip those troops apart. All those Muslims around Israel when he comes in. But in Job 41, verse 1, this is the chapter that shows how powerful God is over Lucifer. Now, unfortunately, if you write to Christian colleges, they don't know who this being is. Leviathan. Job 41, verse 1. Canst thou draw Leviathan with a hook? Now, the rock stars, they know who it is. Why? Because they've had meetings with him. If you see anybody that has international fame and fortune, this is an individual that has an encounter with Satan and has made an agreement. And then you watch their eyes, and you can see in their eyes, it's basically an empty soul, pretty much so. I said that about Robin Williams before he died. And some of these people, they're not so-called committing suicide, they're being taken out on a religious ceremony on a religious day. Princess Di was taken out at the right location on the right day. Okay? And Robin Williams, most likely, was taken out at the right time. Why? Because the devil was done with him. But when you read that guy's eyes, you can see there, it was empty. A man that was supposed to be a comedian, but he's a miserable person. Why? Because He thought he was going to get fame and fortune. And he got that, but it wasn't what he thought it was going to be. Job 41 is Leviathan. And if you write to Christian College, you write Moody Bible and ask them what Leviathan is, they're going to tell you a whale, a hippopotamus, a dinosaur, a fire-breathing bug, a rhinoceros. They don't know what it is. That word Leviathan is found 5 times in the Bible. 5 is a number of death when you reject the grace. And Isaiah 27 verse 1 records the word twice. And it says, in that day the Lord with a strong sword shall punish Leviathan. He shall slay the red dragon in the sea. If we just use that verse all by itself, Leviathan is the natural state of Satan, a reptile, a reptilian, like the little green Geico guy, only massive. Now, he doesn't appear this way. He transforms or shapeshifts into being an angel of light. That's how he would appear. A young man. But in his natural state, he's Leviathan here. And here's what God says about Leviathan to Job. He said, Job, can you draw a Leviathan out with a hook? Job, can you put a worm on a hook and put your feet, on the pier, on the dock, and dangle your feet, the bare feet in the water, and then take your pole and flip it out there with that worm? And then when you see that bobber go down, set that hook. And can you reel in Leviathan like I can? No, you can't. I can. I'll pull him in when I want. This is the power of God. Now, when you keep reading, he goes further. Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down. Canst thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Being raised on a farm, one way to stop or to discourage hogs from rooting with their snout is you take a pliers with a wire ring in there and you take that thing and put it right here on their snout and you squeeze it in there, sharp, and them hogs are, and you squeeze that thing right in there and man, the next time they're going to try to do that snout, oh, does that hurt? And then you can take a cord and put in that little hook and pull that pig wherever you want it. Some farmers will take a hook, a ring, and put it in the, like this, sideways in the snout of a bull. Then they can take a rope and just, I know city folks, this is, some city folks, they just don't understand us. We raise in a farm, okay, it's just an animal, survive the fittest, I'm the most the fittest, so they're going to die if I want them to die. That's just the next meal. Okay, but when I was a kid, okay, if we keep reading down, it says, the Lord says, will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? And wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Play with him as a bird. Now, I did that a lot. Being on a farm, you got these tool sheds, you got farm equipment in there, and then these sparrows coming in and build their nest, and then they try to buy all our equipment because they put all this down payment on there. And then them bird nests will get lice in there, all that stuff. And so one thing I liked to do as a kid, 12 years old, I'd go in the barn and I'd pull them nests down. My dog liked it. My big dog loved it when I would get them right before the feathers start developing on those little baby sparrows. Oh, he loved it that way. Man, it didn't get caught in his throat. I mean, just, 20 at a time. He just loved it, man. That dog loved it. Hey, it's free dog food. And, here I'd take one of these little birds, and you can take it by the head, lefty, loosey, righty, tighty, spin it like this. That's one way you can take care of your chickens. You ever do that with your chickens? Instead of cutting the head off, just grab by the head, two turns, and then it pops right off. Lefty loosey, righty tighty. Now, a lot of Americans, they're just so, how cruel. Okay, how are you going to eat your Big Mac? Somebody killed an animal for you to eat that Big Mac, right? You just need to go see how it's done. Okay? But, okay, here I am a kid. I've got a little sparrow in my hand. And what can I do with it? I can. And that's how God can handle the devil. That's exactly how he can handle him. The power of God over Satan is so massive. And Satan knows his limitations. And God is the one that calls the shots. Now the devil will try to get all these ducks in a row. And the IMF has all their plans, ducks in a row and everything. But there's a God in heaven. And if that God in heaven says, no, you can't do it, it ain't going to happen. You see, when America began, July 4th, 1776, there was a sinister organization that also began May 1st, 1776, called the Illuminati. Their intentions was to make America the next Atlantis. God messed the plans up and had great revivals at the beginning of America, and the foundation of America became a Christian foundation. You see, the devil can make all his plans, but there's a God in heaven that just utters the words. That's all he's got to do, is say the words. Do you know why entropy is delayed? Entropy is a scientific term that everything is falling apart, all batteries run down, the world is getting older, you know, the sun is getting weaker. That's entropy. Do you know what delays that? According to this book, Hebrews chapter 1, that book is what's delaying it. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, God upholds all things by his word. I'm just dumb enough to believe that. You see, that's the power of that book. What God is going to do is he's going to elevate the Antichrist. God purposely is doing this. And then he's going to take one swift punch and take him down. Why? To show his power. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, it says that the heavens, the powers of the heavens will shake when Jesus Christ comes back. The Bible says that God is going to fire Satan and throw him into outer darkness. You know the real power of God? The real power of God is when Jesus Christ on earth forgave a man for his sins, and he told the people, he said, I just want to let you know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. You know, whenever there's a fuss between two people, do you know who the one is usually the one that tries to reconcile it? The stronger one. The weak one is going to hold that grudge and gripe and complain to somebody else until the day they die in most cases. The stronger one is going to be the one that tries to reconcile, and it's the stronger one that is willing to forgive. The God of the Bible is willing to forgive. And not only that, the God of the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, says that no man has power over his own spirit. Who's got power over our spirit? It's the God of the Bible. Paul said in Acts 17 that God holds your breath in his hand. In other words, the God of the Bible is the one that gives you and I power to live. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, 18, it says, God is the one that gives you the power to get wealth. A lot of times people get this wealth and they get a big head and they say, I did this, I did this. You know, all God has to do is just touch a little blood vessel in their head, stroke, boom, just like that. And he could take them down in just seconds. There's an atheist many years ago that got mad at God because his child died. And so he's out in a storm yelling and screaming at God, you know, trying to curse God, you know, trying to get God to get a fight with him, and nothing happened. And he's in a backyard fiddling with some wood. He was still grumbling, mad at God, and a little gnat flew into his throat, choked, and died on it. The God of heaven doesn't have to exert himself over us. And that's all he had to do. The God of heaven is the one that has power over our spirit, and he's the God that will forgive our sins. And when we focus on that God, then we got to step back and say, whoa, what a powerful being. And that's my God? So much different than all the other little pagan gods way down here on the rack. What a God that we serve according to this Bible. What a blessed God. And so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to admire you, to love you, to honor you, to worship you. And we are told to understand the signs of the times. We are told to get ready for some things. But it's the God of the Bible who is the one that calls the shots. Now, I'm looking forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And he is going to smite his enemies in the hinder parts. And Lord, the sooner the better. And Lord, I pray that shortly you would receive the glory that is due you, that you establish your kingdom and then show the world how it's supposed to be done. And Lord, all this sideshow that's going on, Lord, if you allow it to happen, you allow it to happen. And if you don't want it to happen, then you're not gonna allow it to happen. Help us just to have extreme faith in what your word says. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.